Welcome on this last day of November 2014. What a month it has been. Oh my gosh, it has been so fast, so busy, at least here. It's kind of like we're getting ready for Santa's workshop. We're making do. We're making things happen and keeping on top of it. I am so excited about the new frames that I was able to purchase. This was like a once in a lifetime. Our framer just had a total of about 20 frames left over from a special purchase they had made for a large photography studio. And they let me have the frames at their cost, which means I could pass on an unbelievable savings to you and be able to let you have some G. Clay's framed that, you know, I know that so many of you want them, and then you go to the store and you have sticker shock, and I just hate that. But the fact is, it costs a lot to produce these because they're all custom. They're all on canvas. They all require handling and processing and hand framing and hand finishing and boxing and all the stuff that goes into making them. And so we finally had an opportunity to give you something that was complete, because I know it's a little discouraging also to get a G. Clay and it's unframed, and then you say, okay, well, now what next? And you're on your own. You have to go find a frame for it. We've got, this will not happen again, and when they're gone, they're gone. As a matter of fact, the small 11 by 14 silvers are already gone. And I would say about half of the larger silvers are gone. That's because people have been looking for a beautiful way to get first light, and the silver frames just look gorgeous on that. But we've included six of my most favorite G. Clays, all of them, whether it's Yeshua, First Light, and then, let's see, four of my limited edition series. We couldn't include the Lamb and the Lion because it's not the right size. It's square. But we made up for that by giving you a 15% discount between now and the 12th of December. So we're trying to do whatever we can in a very difficult economy to keep Christ in Christmas and to allow you to share your Christmas with people more in the spirit of what it's about. And don't forget Christ sent. That's a wonderful way of sharing Christ without having to say a word about it. So welcome, everyone, to today's blessing. And we always get more and more people on the call as of about the 15-minute mark, because everybody's learned the blessing occurs on the half hour. But I think a lot of people like to hear the messages that I've prepared for you. And last time, we went the whole time because I could feel Yeshua really needed to talk. But I feel that we need to make up for it today by opening the lines to our community. And I see Chris is on the line. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Glenda.
Is it a wonderful day where you are?
It is. I'm in Texas, so of course it's a wonderful day. hope you can hear me okay.
It would have been better if you were down here on the coast with us.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I've been wanting to do that. And soon, and give you a call one of these days. I've been processing lots of stuff, and so it's been neat. I did have a question, though, to see if it correlated with what I've been experiencing. It just seems like everything's accelerating, and you just mentioned that everything was really heating up around where you're at, too. But I must like the energy to clear and to move into our sacred hearts. It's really accelerating, and do you notice that type of thing yourself?
I have, Chris, and I'm so glad you gave me an opportunity to respond this way, because we had this kind of speeding up in 2012. I think everybody was just about to fly off the merry-go-round. It was getting so fast. But it was the kind of fast you couldn't keep up with. We were all offloading things. Well, I just can't do this. Okay, I'll have to offload that. Or we tried compression as much as we could, doing as many things at the same time as we could. And I think we were all just about at the level of hypertension or, you know, hyper-exhaustion, one or the other. Or at least our nerves were frazzled. What I'm finding right now is very different. It's faster and faster and faster, but whenever I say slow down, it's like taking my foot off the accelerator, and it slows down for me. And even when it's fast in a way that's compatible, that I can get things done. It's a very different feeling. It's sort of like we're accelerating now more on a harmonic wave, and that's the difference. See, we were flushing out a lot of inharmonic waves before, toward the end of 2012. And then 2013 was kind of chaos. It's like, okay, what now? Everything coming at us at once, all kinds of opportunities, but we didn't know what was what or which was the best one. We just had to stick our hand in a hat and draw out our best option. And sometimes we looked at it and said, oh, throw this one away. Give me another option. You know, that was 2013. Now, 2014 has been a very busy year, but it's been increasingly on a harmonic way that actually allows us to get more things done. And to get more things done with people we have more in common with, and to get more things done more in focus. I'm hoping that 2015 will be more of the same increase in harmony, that we can really get a lot of things done all with one stroke of grace. Does that make sense?
That's really cool. Yes, it does. And the synchronicities, I guess, is what I've done is when I have a question, it's answered in some way really quickly. And allows me to process and move on. It's just been extraordinary. Ever since, especially since the last blessing seminar, things have really kind of gelled. And so I just wondered if you or maybe others have noticed that. So thank you.
Well, I certainly have, and I can imagine that, especially from speaking with our blessing givers, most of them have as well. This is a powerful, powerful phenomena for getting us more in sync with the harmonic frequencies of energy that are waiting to pass through our life and carry us on to a better future. Those who have taken the blessing course will understand how that works. And those who have received it now for a number of times will feel how it works. Whether you're a receiver or a giver, it's the same benefit. It's just an acceleration of understanding and a more causal direction of the energy for those who have had the training and become blessing givers. And we're waiting just on the edge of a new opportunity next Saturday to train more blessing teachers, which will allow more of you to study the blessing without having to come to my headquarters. I hope to see all of you eventually at least one time. But in the meantime, we want to offer the blessing to everyone as fast as possible to get you moving into the very best life you can have and to overflowing the cup of your blessing to everyone around you and to attracting all of the best you can and to being in the best picture of radiant health. Loving and sharing with those around you in your most beautiful way. So we're working on getting this out, and it wouldn't take so long if we had more people, bringing more people to the blessing call, or more people standing up to say, yes, I will be a teacher, And there's still time to get in on the teaching seminar next week. Of course, you have to be qualified. You have to have been to a blessing conference with me. But give me a jingle. Send me an email. We'll talk about it. It's an important thing. It's an important skill to have because it's a transformational skill. And what I see as the biggest difference between pre-2012 and post-2012 is this. Yes, we still are in a transition of reality. And we may be in a transition of reality for another generation. At least for those in my age group, for the rest of our generation. But it's different. Before 2012, we were into change. And if you remember and think back to those days, how much more change could we possibly endure? You know, people born in my age still could occasionally see horses pulling wagons, at least on the farm, or at least in rural areas. We still had, as our major transportation, buses. Very few people, except for the wealthy, flew by airlines. And we went from there to landing on the moon. We went from there to nuclear energy. We went from nuclear energy, we went to global communities, the computer, which changed the world, the internet that set up global connections, and it goes on and on. It was one change after another, and it's like every year in the last two decades, we'd virtually have to upgrade our computer, or at least our operating system on our computer. We had to learn new things every month. It was change, 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 change. Well, I think we were all about ready to put a headache band on and get off the wagon. Now, what we are more into is transformation. We're looking at where we've come, and we've said, this is enough. We have enough to work with. All we need is to take it to a higher level. We've invented more than we can possibly use. And some of the best medical breakthroughs aren't even being used. They're not even being released. Some of them are even being suppressed. What we need is a transformation of values, a transformation of laws, a transformation of ideals, a transformation of ourselves. We need to transform our lives, our opportunities, our way of using things. We've all got more stuff than we could ever use. What we need is to find new ways of using it or passing it on to someone who can make a treasure out of your trash. That's transformation. This is the biggest change I have noticed, is we are moving from change to transformation. As a matter of fact, we conducted a webinar in 2012 by that very title, and it was Yeshua's Foresight, Getting Us Ready for This Change. And that webinar is archived. You can go to lovewithoutend.com. In the main page, you'll see, click here for all products and services, and that'll take you to our web store. And just go to the category of webinars and seminars. You'll find it there. It's archived, and anyone can take it forever. I would highly recommend that course for adapting to this new era, which is all about taking whatever you have, instead of changing it, transform it. Instead of learning more about stuff you'll never use, take what you already know and transform it into something of greater value. So, Cecilia's on the phone. Hi, Cecilia. I'm going to open your line.
Hi. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm getting along. Thank you. I was just listening to your call on the 23rd before this one because I'd missed it. and I loved it. One thing I wanted to ask about is you spoke of compassion and that you thought that not many people were born with it, and it was something that some people developed later in life. And I just hope that you speak more about it sometime, because I think a lot of us have misconceptions about it, compassion and self-compassion.
Well, Cecilia, I think that would be a great subject to bring up again. Everyone is born with love, and there is no more love on earth than a brand new baby girl, baby boy. You can look in their eyes and they are pools of love. You can hold them and they love you unconditionally. And it is a form of compassion in the sense that there's pure love there. But it's part of life to teach children how to survive, how to protect themselves, how to get what they need. Life prepares them for that. And they have to learn to put up their boundaries. They have to learn to take care of themselves. And they have to learn to exist in a very competitive world. Hopefully, they retain that inner sense of love as they're learning all these lessons of survival. Now, a few children, I have noticed, truly are born compassionate in the sense that they put others first. That's what compassion really, that's the first hallmark of compassion. And it requires sacrifice. And that is a learned, acquired wisdom that comes from realizing that we all are interconnected. Not one of us can benefit unless others benefit as well. And many times, by deferring our own benefit and allowing others to receive first, we actually can improve our own readiness to receive when it's our turn, when we allow ourselves to. Compassion is about serving. Compassion is about caring beyond our boundaries or even our preferences. It's about overcoming. You see, we spend the first half of our life learning to survive, and then we spend the second half of our life overcoming the limitations that survival mm-hmm. put on us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what I was referring to, Cecilia. Does that make sense?
Yes, it sure does. It sure does. And I can think of a few children that I've met who were compassionate right from the beginning, and it's the most extraordinary thing.
It is. It is, and I have had the pleasure of that experience myself, but I don't think I or any of my age peers growing up had that sense. I don't think it was very typical in our generation. I'm seeing it more and more in the new generation.
That's wonderful.
But whether or not it does increase, the fact is it does, you know, in the number of children born, it does increase for all of us as we reach the age of wisdom where we see that we benefit only by benefiting first through others. And that's the birth of compassion for all of us.
And I love it that you teach us and you hold out a high standard for us, and yet you always convey compassion and not judgment. Yeah,
that's my joy, and that's how I learn. That's really after a certain point in life, you don't learn without compassion. You really don't. It creates empathy. It creates transmission of ideas. It opens yourself to inspiration. It becomes the very excitement of your life.
That's wonderful, yeah.
Yeah. And so I have no judgment whatsoever that young people, as a general rule, need to be focused more upon learning how to survive, but doing so in a loving way. That tends to be the way of the young. And that's totally okay. As long as they're learning to survive in a way of love. They're learning how to find the career that will prosper them the best and serve the most people, but yet be something they love. That's natural. That's nature at work. And it's totally okay. But there will come a point where it's not enough. And recognizing when that point arrives in your life is a very, very important landmark. And it's a landmark that deserves to be honored. As a matter of fact,
it's a very sacred turning point, isn't it?
It is a very sacred turning point. And as a matter of fact, there's a tradition that is centuries old in India. It really didn't apply to women, and I think it's because for women it occurs more gradually, probably earlier in life because of their many acts of caregiving, caring for the young and the old and the sick and the community and so forth. But this tradition that is centuries old is that a man would retire at the age of 50. And retirement was not what it means in our country. It meant he would leave his family utterly. And he would go into a monastic life where he would lose all cares of the world and master this new viewpoint of compassion. After which then he would return to the family and become the guiding elder. And it was a sacred tradition. The young men would, of course, make the living. Or the younger men would make the living. And it goes back beyond the veils of time. It's just been carried on for so long. I'm not sure if that's true in all of the various religions, but certainly in Hindu and some of the others, I think also in Buddhism in India. It was not so much a religious practice as it was a secular practice that recognized at some point in life, this turning point has to occur.
That is so wise, because in our culture, we just want to go back to being young again and keep it all going, keep the band playing forever.
I know, or at least hit the golf course.
Yeah.
And that becomes our new religion. On Sunday morning, it's the golf course. Thank you very much. Get out of my way. No, it's very true. And it's, for me, I think it should, I think it's worthy of being a rite of passage. Perhaps not
yeah.
culturally celebrated, because it doesn't occur at the same time in everyone's life, or for the same reason, or have significantly the same result. But it is something that needs to happen for each of us at a certain point when we gain that expanded element of wisdom. And it doesn't mean we have to stop living and producing and even providing a living inside the world. I would say the best way of describing this would be the way Yeshua described the entirety of his life. I am in the world, but not of the world.
Yes, it's changing the perspective and the energy and the whole field of relationship.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know what? If we plan on this happening at a certain time, we can even plan our life to sustain us financially into this era. For example, a teacher could be keeping journals during all the years of teaching, or a doctor could be keeping journals during all the years of doctoring, and these journals could be turned into something that could be written or researched in a leisurely way, producing greater income as teachers in a different way after this change of life are coaches of other people in their life after this change of life. There's ways we could set this up culturally to provide that change where retirement wouldn't be ceasing to work. It would be working with different values.
Reaping the harvest.
Exactly.
And sharing it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that's grand. Thank you.
You're so welcome. And we have just about come to the time of our blessing. So since we have no one else on the queue, what I'm going to do is something I need to do about once every month, and I haven't done it frequently. We do have new blessing givers from new blessing. Well, we do have some new blessing givers, but we have new blessing receivers from time to time, actually more every week, I believe. And some of them don't sign up. They just come because a friend referred them. If you sign up, you will get an information email that tells you some of the history behind the blessing, some of the dynamics of it, what we're doing, and what to expect from it. And so I would highly recommend that you sign up so that you'll be notified for future blessings. We always have it on Sunday, but every now and then the time will change for reasons of a holiday or perhaps to celebrate the completion of new blessing givers. And sometimes we offer special blessings during the week if there are those in, if we have some challenge or catastrophe somewhere, or we have a special occurrence that we want to celebrate and bring us all into a loving harmony about it. So sign up to receive your notices about the blessing. You will not receive anything that is not relevant to the blessings. You will not be put on a general mailing list only for receiving information about the blessing or updates to time and place and ways that you can receive it or more information we have about good results happening. But for those who really are just here in faith and don't know much, this blessing is conveyed as an energetic form. Everything in this physical universe is energy. Even thought is energy. Even spirit conveys energy. And we know this as an illustrated form by the day of Pentecost, when the great transformation of the apostles occurred. The Holy Spirit descended upon them, and flames literally burst from their shoulders and the tops of their heads. The energy was so great, and they could speak in tongues they otherwise did not know. And they were filled with life force, life energy. So yes, even spirit expresses itself energetically. We have all experienced moments of inspiration, and it was like a shot of adrenaline. We got inspired about something and jumped out of our chair and said, yes, I'm going to go do it. You see, in this physical universe, everything is energy. The woman touched the robe of Yeshua as he was passing through the crowds and got a blessing from simply touching his robe, and he felt it because it was given as energy. It's all energy. So we're going to put you in a position that is an optimum position for receiving energy. You're going to be seated comfortably in a chair, arms and legs uncrossed, your head just kind of comfortably bowed as if you were in prayer, because you will be in prayer. But don't just force it down to your heart. Just allow it to be comfortable. And you could put your hands in your lap if you like, but don't cross them. Now, I would like your feet on the ground, the floor, with no rubber soles between your feet and the floor. You will be drawing energy from the earth, and the earth is a powerful magnet that will draw energy from the heavens. So let's don't interfere with that. It can pull through rubber, but rubber is not a natural frequency of energy, and it scrambles energy. It prevents clear signals from passing into the earth and back from the earth. Now, on the subject of clear signals, you will be in your heart in prayer during the blessing, which helps this signal to be a more perfect, clear signal for you, your needs, your desires, whatever you want to praise or ask forgiveness for. It makes the energy all for you, all about you. We send it to you as the pure energy of the Holy Spirit. We're merely conveyors of the energy. It doesn't come from us. It simply comes through us. And what our job is to take this energy of the Holy Spirit, which is everywhere, and the love of Christ, which is everywhere and already with you. We help to focus it into the human frequency of energy, because it's in everything around you. But until we know to ask for it, it doesn't get translated into a way we can more perfectly use. This is why prayer makes a difference in our life. It helps to convert that energy around us into a perfect application for our life. Sometimes we have disconnected from God the Father, and this energy will help to restore that connection and help your prayer to more perfectly reach the realms of the divine. So, essentially, I would need to take you into a two-day weekend course to tell you everything that is happening in the blessing. And I hope someday you will choose to come and learn about it all. But for now, receive in faith. Simply be in your heart. Don't try to think it through. Your mind does not have the answers. It will only interfere. It will only present objections and doubts and interrupt the perfection of your faith. Just be in your faith, be in your heart, and pray for about 3 or 4 minutes, and I will let you know when the energetic conveyance of the blessing is complete. At that point, I want you to go and rest, and don't think again. Just be quiet. And it's okay if you nap. It's okay if you fall asleep. For God will do his work. The Holy Spirit will do its work. Christ will do his work in you, for you, through you. And then, when you awake, I would recommend you have a large glass of water. As a matter of fact, if you can right now, if it's easy and handy, without taking you too far away from the blessing, have a drink. It's always good to be hydrated when energy passes through you or pours through you, most especially blessing givers. Have a drink of water. Be hydrated. I will begin with an invocation to Yeshua. Then you will begin your prayer while we convey the energy of his love, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the healing power of the Holy Spirit, the love and the grace of God. So, let us begin. Blessing givers, join me now. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, the one who walks through us in life, keeping our hearts pure and our love connected with the gift of Christ, dwelling in us, waiting forever to be awakened and put into the service of life. We thank you for reminding us of who we are. We thank the Holy Spirit for being here to heal us, bring us joy, strengthen our faith, and give us inspiration for all sorts of new wonderful things in life, for joining us more perfectly with our fellow man, with the earth, and our future. To God the Father, for being our sustaining power forever in your wondrous creation. For all these things, we give thanks and praise. Amen. Let us begin. Your blessing is complete. You are very loved by God. Now, I'd like you to go and rest. Just be quiet, assimilate, and be nurtured by all that you've been given. And I hope to see you again next week. Much love from me. And bye-bye for now.